Good morning. How's everyone today? Good. Before I get started, let's just stand and I want to pray for our pastor. He's in Florida right now and he's serving at a conference there. He's speaking, and I just want to for us to intercede as a church on his behalf. And let's just pray. Father, we just thank you so much for Pastor Tom. Father, we thank you for establishing such a man of character, Father, and such a man full of love in this place, God. An ambassador of your kingdom, Father, and we just thank you, God, that you're using him beyond these walls, Father, that you've called him for these next couple weeks to serve the people and the ministers out there in Florida, Father. I pray that you just love on him right now and his wife, Father God, that you just fill them with peace. And fill them with so much love for those around them, Father. Reveal new revelation in his heart, Lord God. And I pray your protection over him and a safe return. In your name, amen. Amen. We've been speaking on a series called Same God, Different Season. And Pastor Tom's already spoken a few messages, which we'll just recap quickly here. The first one was same God, different season. The second, he talked about change, challenges, and champions. And then his last message was setbacks are stepping stones to success. And today, I want to speak on trusting and transitioning in any season, specifically stormy seasons. And I want to start with a story that I shared a little bit. Well, no, I shared in full with the young people one time, and it's kind of funny, but I want to ask that it stays in this church, doesn't leave these walls, and I'm sure my mom will remember once I talk about it a little bit. I was in a season when I was between the ages of 10 and 14 where I hated doing one specific thing, and that was taking a shower. And it's something I really struggled with in that time of my life. So I came up with this elaborate plan of how to avoid it. So I only had to take a shower twice a week. It was at that point, it was, you know, I'm 10 to 14. You're not sweating much, so you really, you know, no reason to waste water. So I spent, you know, Tuesdays and Saturdays taking a shower. And if my mom remembers correctly, I'm sure you can correct me if I'm wrong. My first move was to run the water and just sit there in the bathroom, not actually take a shower. I would just run the water, make it sound like I was taking a shower. And after a couple months, my mom started to realize that, wait a second, this kid really smells. So he's obviously not doing something, you know. So her next move was to check the puff. You know the puff you use to scrub your body down? So I went and took my shower. I ran the water. I came out. She goes in the bathroom, checks the puff. The puff is dry. She's like, wait, you didn't take a shower. And I'm like, oh man, now I got to get a step ahead. So now I go take the shower, run the water, and get the puff wet. So now I'm on it. Now she's definitely not going to find out. Now the soap's not getting any lower. The shampoo's not going down. So, you know, there goes that question. What, are you still taking a shower? No, of course I'm not. But I'm saying I am. And here's where she really got me, was that I was playing all these tricks, and the last thing I missed was that we have a crack underneath the door about this wide, and what she started to do while I was taking my imaginary shower was look underneath to see if my feet were there in the middle of the bathroom. Of course they were, because I was just standing there, you know, so outside of the tub. And I had to get one more step ahead. So what I started to do was sit on the sink in the middle of the shower. And then, I was just doing everything I could to avoid that season and that transition I had to make from being a little kid to now a teenager. And something needed to change. But I had a problem with trusting my mom and that she had a bigger goal in mind for me. And that was so I don't smell like garbage, you know. And I really struggled. I struggled back and forth with this, and the biggest thing that really tripped me up was the trust. I had a really hard time trusting what my mom saw as a bigger picture and what my inconvenience was in that moment. So I want to look at two passages today, starting with Matthew 14. And we're going to read through it, and then I'm going to come back. We're going to start from the beginning, and we're going to break each verse down and see what is God trying to tell us here in this passage about transitioning and trusting in the middle of our season. So Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. And it says, this is right after Jesus did the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So the wind was against them. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And this is where Peter comes in. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he, Jesus, says, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those that were with him in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I really want to take a moment here and kind of break down the text into sections and see what is God trying to say to us as a church about trusting him and transitioning through any season anyone here in this church could be in. So verse 22, I love Jesus, he starts the passage by sending the disciples into a direction. He gives them a place to go, and this place where he actually went, Max, if you got the picture, it's called Bethesda, or Bethesia is another translation. So this is Lake of Galilee, and Jesus, what's interesting with verse 23 is his perspective. It says that he retreated to the mountain, and right where I drew in, where it says Jesus with the arrow, that's where they say that he was praying while the storm was happening to the disciples. And so he sends the disciples on this journey. And they're actually, what's happening is they're going from one season to another, but in the middle, there's also this season, and this season's very stormy. And they get into this boat, and they begin to cross the Sea of Galilee. And verse 23, it's all about the perspective of God. And that should be encouragement to us, is that in every season, God sees everything. In every season, God has the full picture. Now, verse 24, we see that halfway into the crossing of the lake in the Sea of Galilee, it says that the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. It's interesting because that's how sometimes our seasons feel. Like if we have a stormy season or something we're working through a hardship, a loss, or whatever it may be, and we feel like we're caught in the middle of it and we're just getting torn up by these waves of life, and a lot of times it's what's going on in our mind. It's the storm in our mind. And we feel caught in the middle there. And then what's interesting in verse 25, it says that in the last hour, the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch in that time was between 3 a.m. and between 6 a.m. And that's when Jesus began to make a move. He's seeing everything from the mountaintop. He's seeing everything happening. And now, at the last minute, Jesus decides to go and meet the disciples on the water. And as he's walking out to them, it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out with fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them. I love how God's just right in the moment. You know, there's that fear tries to invade them, and God is so quick to remind them that it is I that's coming. And immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And I love Peter, because this is where Peter really, if you read through the Gospels, Peter's like that guy that's like really outgoing, and he makes a lot of big mistakes, but I love that God continues to work in Peter, and Peter becomes this great evangelist. And God just uses, basically tells Peter that I'm going to make you the rock that I'm going to build the church on. And we see Peter here, and he says, he cries out to the Lord. It says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water." And Jesus replies, "Come." He sends the word. Jesus sends the word out to Peter in the middle of a storm. And he says, "Come out of the boat." And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now imagine that. Now imagine you're in the shoes of Peter. You step out of that boat and you're literally standing on water. I mean, if I was in Peter's shoes, that's like, I don't know how I would process that, you know, because you already know physics that shouldn't be happening. But God, he sent a word, and he called Peter out, and that word was the foundation that Peter was standing on. But something happens very quickly here. It says in verse 30, "But when he saw the wind was boisterous," this is where it all fell apart for Peter in that moment, was in the middle of his storm, middle of that season, he was transitioning, and something happened. Something changed. Does anybody know what changed? Everyone's whispering. And there's a bit of fear, yeah. There's something, one key thing that changed, and I'll give you the secret here in a second. When he saw the wind was boisterous, when you think of sight, what is one thing we think of? If I give attention, right? When I'm looking at something, when I'm observing something, it's where my eyes are, that's where my attention is, right? So in that moment, what disabled Peter was his attention, where his attention was. And we read here, it says, "But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink." So what disabled Peter on that water was that his attention changed. It was no longer on what Jesus told him in that moment. He said, "Peter, walk out." And that faith was his rock in that moment. That was the stepping ground for Peter. But it was as soon as Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, began to look at the wind, that's when all of a sudden his ship began to sink. And that's when Peter became disabled in the middle of his season. But I love that we serve a God that's so quick to reach out. And even in our mistake, even in our doubt, God still wants to reach out and grab us. And he promises to be there with us in the middle of our season. He promises to never forsake us. And as soon as verse 30 is over, we're hit with verse 31. Jesus is quick to reach out even in our failure. "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" It was the doubt that disabled Peter. But I love that Jesus, even in the middle of our mistakes that we can make in our season, Jesus was still so quick to reach, grab Peter, and hold him. I mean, that's an amazing confidence to have in your Savior if you're in the middle of a struggle, in the middle of a transition, middle of a season. That's, yeah, I can still screw up. There could still be some doubt, but God is still right there ready to receive, ready to grab, ready to restore me out of that. And he grabs Peter, and as soon as he gets Peter, he gets into the boat. The storm has ceased. And what I noticed in this passage was there's something in the middle of the transition. As Peter was transitioning there, I noticed that there was something that happened, and that was vulnerability. As soon as he was walking out on the water, he became vulnerable to something. And I thought of an example When Juliana and I were coming back, or we were in Australia, and we went out on some sightseeing thing, and I'm sure as some of you have done it, if you've been to like Niagara Falls or like any big cool thing that I don't know what they call them, the national parks or whatever you want to call them. Like, you go do your adventure, but on your way out, you always have to walk through somewhere. They like to take your money there. It's called the gift shop. It's right where the exit is, you know? So you get all excited. You go do your excursion. You go see some, do some sight viewing. And then before you exit, you go through the gift shop, you know? And the exit is the final goal. Like, that's where I'm headed. That's where my focus is. I need to get to my car. I need to get out of there, you know? And I'm done with this place for the day. But they always throw the gift shop in there, you know? And when you walk through the gift shop, you get very vulnerable. You start to see things that catch your eye. You start to see things that grab your attention, you know. And before you know it, your wallet's empty. You know, you start buying the cups. You start buying this and that. And I remember as we went to the Blue Mountains in Australia. We're walking through the exit. We went through a gift shop on our way to the parking lot, and I bought a boomerang. You know, like, what do I need a boomerang for? It would just look cool, you know. And I don't even know where that boomerang is right now. Like, I know I brought it back to the States, but I have no idea where in the house it is, what I'm planning on doing with nothing. It's just in that moment, my attention shifted from getting to my car to all of a sudden all the stuff around me, and in that gift shop, and the boomerang caught my attention. I know we bought some other stuff, but I remember the boomerang, and it's like they had big ones and the little smaller, all the way down to the little ones. You know, I didn't want to go too big; it's too much money. Too little, just why would you get that? So I went in the middle somewhere, and I got the boomerang, brought it back to the States, and that boomerang in that moment grabbed my attention as I was buying it and kept me from hitting that final goal of getting to my car in a timely fashion and without spending money. That vulnerability in that moment, in that season of when I was transitioning to my vehicle, that vulnerability caught me and stopped me, and it made me do something I didn't plan on doing when I was there. And it's in the transition that you can be distracted. And in the Old Testament, we have the best example of the children of Israel. As they were transitioning from bondage to freedom. And it's actually three seasons they were in. They were in the season of bondage. They were getting ready to go to the season of freedom in the land of Israel, but they were also in the season of the wilderness. And their season became their sinkhole for one reason only. It's because they lost their focus, they lost their faith, they lost their attention. They sent out spies to go into the land of Israel and to kind of survey, and they saw giants. What they saw disabled them from actually getting out of one season, getting into the next of what God had promised them since hundreds of years ago. And that season, that transition became the sinkhole they got stuck in for 40 years. And I want to look at one more passage in Acts 3, 1 through 11. And this is the answer of how we make it from one season to the next. This is about the lame man who was healed by John and Peter. And we're going to start in verse 3. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." And verses 2 and 3, they talk and they bring out the seasons that this man is in. It says that a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. This is called Beautiful, which is the name of the temple, and asked alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked Peter and John for alms. And this is where the part of the attention comes in. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention. Right now, Peter and John, they called out to this man. They said, "Look, give us your attention." Because if you notice any beggar, what they really do is they hold out their cup and they look down. And now Peter and John were calling him to look at us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was in them. They had the answer of Jesus Christ. It said, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were strengthened, received strength. It's so awesome. It's like very, you can bring it in such parallel with even Jesus reaching out to Peter in that moment. That lame man needed that same reach. He needed to get his focus on who was inside of John and Peter, and that's Jesus. And they reached out to him, and that's where the strength came from to transition this man from death to life. So with verse 8, it says, so he leaped up, stood up, walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The most important thing about your transition is that when you allow God to be part of your transition will become your testimony. And that's what happened with this man here, is that he had enough trust in what God was speaking in the moment to transition him from one season to the next. And as soon as he transitioned, that now became a testimony to all of those around him. But I love, if you have to keep reading, because that passage kind of cuts off at verse 10. And it starts with something new at verse 11, but you have to read verse 11 to really see what really is the secret to carrying you through that transition. And it says, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished. I mean, this guy, like, he grabbed Peter and John and he was with them. I mean, that is the secret of transitioning and trusting through any season you can be in, is holding on to your Savior. That is what's going to bring you through no matter what you go through, holding on to the Jesus Christ and truly trusting in what he's spoken in his word. That is what's going to give us enough trust to transition through anything we can go through. Three principles to trusting through our storm. Number one is knowing that God sees and knows your every step, just like when Jesus was standing on that mountain, seeing the whole storm happen down there with his disciples. Number two, don't allow present circumstances to take away your focus from the Father. And number three is believing the word, is believing what God said, believing what God said to the layman, and then believing what he spoke to Peter. He spoke to Peter in that moment. The Rhema word. He called Peter out in that moment, and Peter was walking on faith. Peter believed in that moment until he doubted. But that is what carries us through. The question today is, where is your attention in the season? On the season or on the Savior? And that's what we really have to ask, is as we go through life, life is nothing but seasons, just like a year has nothing but four seasons. Our life is just a set of seasons until the day we pass away. And the real question is, no matter what season am I in, what am I trusting in? The wind around me, what I can see physically, what even sometimes what my emotions can dictate, or do I trust and hold on to my Savior, Jesus Christ? And that's what I have for you today. I want us to stand, and we're going to pray and close. And we're going to invite, I want all of us to invite Jesus to become the center and the Savior of every season that we're going to go through. Father, we honor and worship you today, God. We thank you so much for your word, Father. We thank you for the love you have for us, Father, that you never left us or forsaken us, Father. You see and know all. And God, we love you and honor you, Father. I pray today, God, that the word that you have spoken encourages us and builds us up, Father, to walk out our seasons looking to you, having our eyes and our focus set on you, our Savior, and not the circumstances around us, Father. I pray, God, that this word touches every heart, God. This word empowers us, gives us the strength to move forward, to keep moving forward, Father, no matter what's happening, good or bad, Father, and that we give all glory to you, Father, that we find our strength in you, We find our purpose in you and our identity in you, Father God. We honor and bless you, Father, and we thank you. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Thank you very much for coming out today. We'll see you downstairs for fellowship.